Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Gate Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefrey, and this is episode number 256. I want to thank you guys for listening each week. Really, truly appreciate those of you that like, comment, share. This helps us continue to highlight the great people we have in our profession. Also appreciate our sponsors. We're at the CSCCA National Conference. Most all of our sponsors are here, and just appreciate them so very much for being a part of the show. And if you're here, please reach out to them, Samson, Gym Aware, Woodway, Intag, Iron Grip, VersaPulley, just great friends, great products, better people than products, and I only partner with people that I believe in. This week, I'm joined by a good friend, Justin Levette. Justin and I go way back, known him for quite a few years now, and just truly appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Thank you.
It's a live show. We've only done like two or three of these in 256 episodes.
It's an honor to be here and appreciate having me.
Justin, you've been the Denver Broncos. You were in high school for a little bit. You were Georgia, Western Kentucky, now Purdue. Which one of those experiences best defines you as a coach?
I think we're all teachers, number one. I just got done listening to Coach Bayless talk, and we have similar paths. But being a teacher, number one, defines me, because in the college game or in the pro game, you're going to get athletes that have low training ages or high training ages, and you have to have an ability to meet them where they're at. So high-end guys or low-end guys, highly motivated guys, or guys that maybe take their skill set for granted when you first meet them, you have to find a way to reach them and then teach them. So being a teacher, I've been able to fall back on my teaching experiences at the pro level and at the college game more than anything.
Yeah, I talk all the time. I have an 18-year-old son that I started coaching, and it might be the toughest coaching job I've ever had. It's working with the youth athlete, but I could see that completely. And at our core, we're all teachers. So appreciate that. You know, you don't get to be the head strength coach at Purdue without having to make some mistakes, especially being as young as you are in the profession, making mistakes all the way. What's one of the biggest mistakes you've made and how you learned from it?
I think initially taking a head job, one of the things I took for granted was your routine and your structure and your organization. I felt that at the time of getting a head job, I was highly specialized and a great assistant. I could reverse engineer anybody's program. I could get into the nuances of specialty, speed, power, boxing, anything I could get into. But when it came time to run your own program, some of the things that you took for granted, which is your cues, how you cue, how you want your staff to cue, making everything cohesive was a challenge. So I think I was impatient. I blew through some road signs that told me to slow down, and I would force the fit, as opposed to relying on what I've learned as a high school teacher is meet them where they're at. I was aggressive, hyper aggressive, because that's what you're supposed to do. Is you brought in there to win and change a culture and keep them healthy and improve certain physical attributes. So the biggest mistake I made was forcing the fit, being impatient, and really taking for granted some of the things that are secondary nature. How do you cue? How do you start them? How do you wrap up a workout? Some of those things.
You and I met when we had a conversation with the Broncos, talking about life and the profession, and then I think I picked your brain more than you picked my brain about the boxing and some of the stuff that you were doing. But I remember your journey. You know, I remember you being that intern, that assistant, that GA, and you've been able to catapult yourself pretty quick to the profession, to be a head strength coach at Western Kentucky, now Purdue. What are some of the things that you think that you wish you would have done as an assistant to better prepare you for the job you're doing today?
understanding the big picture of how everything coordinates, whether how your speed and power work correlates with what the athletic trainers are doing. As an assistant, sometimes it's easy to get in a silo. And looking back on it, I didn't take the time to understand why the trainers felt certain ways about this type of work at this point during your off season. I was interested in what the head coach wanted to do, what the head strength coach wanted to do, and how best I could implement their plan without taking a step back to understand maybe the big picture and the larger scope of the process.
We talked a little bit about the boxing. You know, that was back when you were doing that. You were one of the few programs that were doing it out there. What do you think now at the university is what's most unique about your program, or maybe different than all the other programs that are represented here today?
I think, number one, very position specific. Everybody does line combo and skill workouts. We do line combo and skill workouts in a small setting to where if you're a big lineman that needs more mobility, you can get that because we run small groups. We don't like to manage large groups. We like to coach them. So we have multiple groups throughout the day. We pull out our developmental kids for different progressions and volume. We pull out our quarterbacks. We pull out our specialists. So we have seven different groups spliced throughout the football team at any given time of the year. Our modified guys are the other group, a guy with an AC issue, a rehabbing meniscus surgery. So we accommodate those kids and pull them out to meet them where they're at. So we don't ever get in the situation you have to square peg, round hole a kid because he doesn't fit or he's not ready to jump in where somebody else is. You have fifth-year guys training with first-year guys. That's not acceptable because they might not be at that same level. I think what also makes us unique is we don't just do that in the weight room. We do that on the field with speed development, position-specific work, as well as the boxing, having specialties that fit them. Boxing, not just to do boxing aerobics, but boxing for our linemen or MMA concepts for our linemen so they can understand same hand, same foot power concepts. You need a mixed method approach to today's athlete because as you get new players, as you get new coaches and schemes, and at your different schools, your program evolves and you have to find out what that group needs at this time to be successful for your head coach. So I think having that ability to identify what they need and move forward and attack makes us a little bit unique.
Yeah, you went into Western Kentucky, then you go to Purdue, and each place you've had to install your culture. You had to create, come in, and that's probably the biggest difference between being a head strength coach and being an assistant is the buck stops with you when it comes to the energy of the room, the execution, the logistics, the whole field, the whole shebang. What are some of the things that you did at the very beginning to get to Purdue and to put your stamp on it without being one of these guys that just points to the last group and say what they did was wrong, what I did was right?
You know, it's easy when you work for somebody like Coach Jeff Brohm, and I had the privilege to work with him at Western Kentucky. He believes in transparency. So I'm not going to tell you that you're a great athlete, a great worker, and then behind your back at a staff meeting, crush you. So we believe in being transparent. And we also believe in, when we talk about meeting kids where they're at, it is humbling and it causes you to constantly evolve your training because the team at Western Kentucky did some things on the field and in the weight room that our Purdue kids didn't need to do or weren't ready to do, one or the other. So there's no reason to take them there. There's no reason to, an understanding for us, you don't just take what you did at another school and drop it into these kids with different modifications and needs, mobility issues, that doesn't work. So I think we understood early on that when it comes to transition, you have to evolve. Even if next year, you know, we were 7-6 this year, next year hopefully we win more games, the roster changes with each recruiting class. So your program, you can't run the same program that we ran last year. we feel like we're repeating year one again. Last year we were in a different room. We had an advanced training age in terms of our linebackers, our defensive linemen. They were senior, a lot of seniors. So we managed them a certain way. Four lifts a week with regeneration. Now we're in a developmental area where we have a lot of younger athletes. There is no regeneration Wednesdays, and they're upset. We just won a bowl game. Why don't you? Because you're a different team. You're developmental. You need 5 days a week. You need 5 days of field work. So it's moving towards the direction that they need to go. And it was a humbling experience once you first learn that none of my stuff works from Western Kentucky here. None of it. And not only that, get into the winter and the spring, none of our stuff from last year works for this team. So being humble enough to understand that and diligent enough to work through that has been something we've leaned on, and really being transparent through the process with the kids. And that comes through Coach Brahm. I'm not going to hide in a staff meeting and just make all those decisions. We have a tremendous staff. I'm gonna let the kids in on that process. Hey, this is where we're going, and this is why we're going in this direction. And none of that happens without somebody like Coach Brahm that's very transparent in how he operates the entire program. So it's easy for us. That's a long-winded answer to say it's easy because of Coach Brahm.
That makes it easy when you have a head coach that understands to one, empower you, but also when your vision, when your value, your core values align together. That's one that's really special, isn't it? You mentioned your room. You just put together an amazing room. It's a pretty beautiful room. I always joke around with, you know, people, and I wrote this in my book about how as coaches, we didn't take one finance class, we didn't take one economics class, but all of a sudden you're a head strength coach, you get thrown $1 million to create this incredible room, and you're looking at architectural drawings and electric and mechanical and all these types of things. What were some of the things that you had to do that maybe you could have done earlier to kind of prepare yourself, to upskill yourself, to be able to handle building a room from scratch?
I think in conventions and conferences like this, get to know more vendors. The one specifically that I wasn't familiar with. So we were familiar with, you know, a lot of the Powerlift, Hammer, Kaiser. We weren't familiar with floors. We weren't familiar with play, other than the reputation. So I didn't understand how a floor is laid. I didn't understand the differences between a competitor's floor and a floor that we were looking at, other than the being able to jump on it. Cleaning, staff infections from an inability to clean certain floors. So those things I wasn't prepared for. So it was a learning. It was like a whole second job to get familiar with the product that we're laying down, because you only get one chance. If we felt that it was a legacy type of thing, we wanted it to stand the test of time in 20 years when we're not here. We want to come back and be confident that we chose the direction that was best for our players overall, not just maybe what was a fad or trendy at the time. So there was tremendous pressure. I think looking back on it, I wish I had a better and detailed understanding of not just squat racks, but everything that goes into making a room, and a sustainable room, and a versatile room.
Right. Or maybe some of the mistakes, like, I mean, every room that I've done four rooms, I've made mistakes in every one of them. What were some of the mistakes that you made, you know, with the design, or you had to go back and fix something that you can help another coach avoid?
Well, I didn't walk the usable space when it was being when the structure was being completed. So when we had our racks and we pulled them away from the platform, that eliminated a lot of the space that we had used for our back lines, for our chest lines. We cherry-picked one of the best vendors because we liked how the product felt, as opposed to being attached to the company. So we have anything from Hammer to Powerlift to Rogers to Cybex. But when we walked the floor and pulled our racks away from the platforms, that eliminated a whole line of what we're going to do with our net machines, with our pitch charts. So we were we were upset that we wanted a lot of open space and a lot of usable space, not just to transition into a turf area for any dynamic movements. So I didn't walk that space as much as I should have. It ended up working out because we had a back wall that we had planned for storage, and we had hidden storage all over the room. It worked out good, but initially there was some panic, like, is this going to all fit? Even our coaches would come down, where are you going to put all this? You got 22,000 square feet, and you're going to fill it up to where I can't walk? That's not acceptable. And so there was a little bit of concern, but we made it work, and we did eliminate some of the things that we wanted to do to favor space and versatility in terms of flow. So I think that was a mistake that we had to overcome.
I've made, like you said, I've done four rooms and made mistakes in every one of them. I forgot water fountains in one room, so I've done that before. Now, we end the show with some resources here. Give us the best piece of coaching advice you ever received.
Rich Tootin, when I was in Denver, he was the head strength coach that had Super Bowl rings, worked with Terrell Davis and John Elway, and he was also at University of Florida and North Carolina. He just... he would tell me to be you, and it's cliche that you hear it all the time, but you have to be you. You have to understand everything about every player. You don't just work with who you want to work with. You have to understand the team. So from the walk-on to the four-star to the long snapper to the quarterback, there is no different. They're all players that are coming to you to improve their physical attributes. So there is no distinction between a Pro Bowl guy and unrestricted free agent. There is no difference. So be you in how you deal with them and care for all of them. So that was the biggest piece of advice I got from Rich too. He's a giant in our industry and a legend in our game.
Give us a book, app, and website recommendation.
The book that I refer to quite a bit when I'm thinking about how to reach athletes is by Teddy Atlas, From the Streets to the Ring. And he wrote it a while ago, and it has anecdotes from his career as a boxer, his career as a boxing trainer, working with Michael Moore in heavyweight championship fights. And I like that book because it's relatable regardless of the age of who you're working with. Quitting or not punching back is the same universally to an 18-year-old kid, to a 27-year-old pro player, and that's one of the things in that book that resonates with me. So I'll tell you, it's a good book. The app that I use, and it's not for entertainment purposes, but it's really as a defense mechanism when kids have an opportunity to go to the nutritionist and investigate supplements. And we've seen supplements fight players for a year from NCAA. So I like to have and be a resource. So our trainers got us on this one, Aegis Shield. And so they don't want to talk to the trainer because the trainer might tell them, don't take that. They don't want to talk to the nutritionist because the nutritionist might say, don't take that. So I have the app where I can scan whatever they bought at GNC, find out the lot number, find out the risk, just to tell them in real terms, if you're going to take that, get a different lot batch. If you're going to take that, then you're playing roulette. Or, hey, that's pretty safe. Now you can safely take it without being ridiculed to your trainer or your dietitian.
To a certain degree, right?
To a certain degree.
Any websites, Greg?
You know, I do like Strength Performance Network. I do see what they do, and I have liked that website quite a bit because they just show videos of places that I can't have access to. They'll get into pro facilities, they'll get into college facilities, and if I make a call or one of our staff makes a call to try to get in that room, can't get in there. And so I like Strength Performance because of the videos and because they get access to people that we can't really talk to.
Yeah, I love doing these things, and more importantly, I love doing them with friends that I've been able to see their journey. And what I love about you specifically is the fact that the guy that I met from the Denver Broncos and the guy that I see today, it's the same authentic guy. You've made the most of every opportunity, and along the way, you're finding your ways to give back to the profession. And I appreciate the way you're doing your work, appreciate the job you're doing, and appreciate the friendship.
Well, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing for our business and elevating our industry. And this business and profession is much better with you in it. And appreciate all you do as well.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest as well as our sponsors for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.